This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I'm talking to Dr. Mark Mobius, the co-founder of Mark Mobius Capital. Now, Dr. Mobius, a pleasure to have you on air with us. I think what we're looking for you initially is just to try and make sense of the mayhem in the markets right now as a result of all the countervailing circumstances that's happening right now. Can you give us a sense of how safe or unsafe equity markets are right now?
Well, equity markets are looking pretty good now, actually. Now, I know a lot of people sitting on losses may find that statement kind of crazy, but the reality is that we're now in a situation where there are terrific buying opportunities in the market. This is a real panic that's going on worldwide. And whenever you see a panic, you see a lot of people selling things irrationally. You know, a lot of irrationality comes into play. So, you know, we're in a very sweet spot when it comes to equity investing. Now, of course, if we look back, and we've looked back to all the way back to 1987, and you look at all the major markets, Japan, Thailand, US, UK, Turkey, Korea, Taiwan, Brazil, India, Hong Kong, China, Malaysia, and you find the average decline for all the bear markets is about 50%. And these bear markets last an average of about 1.7 years, less than 2 years. The range is from 41 to 70% decline, and the range of lasting is from 1 to 5, but it's usually less than 2 years. So knowing that, you can sort of project what we can expect going forward. Now, the MSCI Emerging Markets Index has come down about 29% at the beginning. Now it's 22 for Malaysia. For the emerging markets, it's about 30%. So we could have, based on the average, more to go in the downside. Nevertheless, it's a good idea for investors to begin slowly picking up those stocks that they like the best and just hanging on, and, you know, don't worry about the decline. Just keep on hanging on, because eventually this will be all over and these markets will move up again.
Well, I know that every time these kinds of things happen, people say it's different this time around, but it does seem to be, again, appearing to be different this time around. This typical V-shaped recovery doesn't seem to be in the offing, Dr. Mobius, because of the longevity, potentially, of this virus. Do you agree with this prognosis, or do you still think a V-shaped recovery is in the offing?
Well, I remember what John Templeton used to say, my mentor, John Templeton. He said, this time is different are the most expensive words in the world. So you've got to, you know, you've got to, of course, be very, very cautious, because things are, it's always, something is always different from each bear market, but we know that human behavior is such that they do go to extremes. And whether it's a V-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery is really not the important thing. The important thing is to look at the degree of decline and then buy on that basis, on basis of good value, good stocks, and just wait it out, because it may take 2 years, it may take 3 years, it may take 1 year or less, but we know that the recovery will be coming. And the difference, of course, this time around is it's a global phenomenon. That's one thing. Of course, the Asian financial crisis did impact markets globally, but this time it's really a very much a global phenomenon. And also, it's a very sudden drop that we've seen. And so V-shaped recovery is quite possible when you see this kind of extreme decline. So whatever it is, whether it's V-shaped or U-shaped, we've got to look at the valuations and buy on that basis.
Typically, the leisure and travel-related stocks and sectors have been the ones most badly hit, including the cruise line operators. Would these be your first ports of call, or what kind of sectors offer the most upside potential and safety as well in terms of margin?
Well, it's not really about sectors, it's about companies. Because in each sector, there will be companies that will do very, very well. Let's take the travel sector. The thing to look at for the travel sector, cruise lines and so forth, is the financial strength of the company. So those companies that have very, very strong balance sheets, in fact, those that have no debt whatsoever, are going to be the ones that will be surviving and increasing market share. So you could pick almost any sector, and you know, there'd be great companies in every sector that you'd want to pick up. And of course, it's very important for investors to be diversified. So you shouldn't have everything, let's say, in the leisure sector, not everything in the travel sector, not everything in the semiconductor sector. You should really be diversified and focus on companies that are really very strong financially and that pay dividends and that have a high return on capital. These are the factors that you have to look at.
Do you also get a sense that with the amount of stimulus packages all around the world, including the $2 trillion that's being thrown at the pandemic in America, that the dollar it continues to lose even more of its value and the Federal Reserve in America, in fact, gets further and further into debt, that because of this, the value of the dollar will continue to lose its sheen, and as a result, it might harm the entire American economy. Do you get that sense or no, not really?
No, I don't think so, because the dollar is still a haven of safety for investors all around the world. Simply because if you look at the political events around the world, there are always people that are trying to escape some kind of dictatorship or some kind of political turmoil, and they see the U.S. as a haven for them. I mean, this is the reason why the U.S. has been inundated with all these immigrants, because they see the U.S. as a safe haven, rule of law, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the dollar will continue to be a haven for people around the world and sort of a benchmark. But gold, of course, is very important in this regard, because with the incredible printing of U.S. dollars and printing of money around the world, you know, the U.S. is not the only one that's increasing money supply dramatically. And then also with all these cyber currencies, the money supply will be increasing dramatically, and gold as a medium of exchange, as a currency, will become, in my view, more and more important.
I tried to look at the performance of Mobius Capital on the Bloomberg, and I came across some results, and they indicate that your funds have performed on a decline of between 25 to 32% on a one-year basis. I think in that way, it reflects the overall performance of some of the biggest indexes. How are you responding in terms of putting more money to work, and how much cash are you keeping to the sidelines as dry powder?
We have about 10%, depending on the divorce. We're running two funds. We have anywhere between 5 and 10% cash. And what we're doing is we're switching. In other words, we're taking a hard look at each and every of the stocks in the portfolio and seeing how they are going to survive in this kind of environment. So those stocks that have a stronger balance sheet, have a stronger return on capital, etc., are the ones that we're going to be increasing. And those that don't have those characteristics, we will decrease. So it's more a movement to balance the portfolio towards those companies that have a good chance of doing well in this kind of environment.
In terms of strategy, what is your direction at this point in time for at least perhaps the next 1 to 3 months?
Well, for the next 1 to 3 months, as you know, we're in emerging markets. So we're invested in Korea, in Taiwan, in China, India, Turkey, Brazil, and a number of emerging markets. So the strategy is to continue to invest. In other words, we're not going to sell in this kind of environment. We're going to head in this environment. And of course, when you're running funds, it all depends on how much money is coming into the funds. But the idea is to get fully invested in those stocks that can really survive in this kind of environment.
I'm talking this morning to Dr. Mark Mobius, the co-founder of Mark Mobius Capital. After this, Dr. Mobius will come back and talk about your fund in particular, your fundraising strategy, your fundraising performance, as well as the role of corporate governance in financial markets in turbulent times. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Today on the grill, I am talking to Dr. Mark Mobius, the co-founder of Mark Mobius Capital. Now, Dr. Mobius, last we left it, you said that you were taking positions in emerging markets, as you do historically, and that you're not going to be selling into these turbulent times, which is also fair. Let's look at your two funds, and let's also look at your business development performance in terms of funds raised. How much have you raised so far for your emerging markets corporate governance focused fund?
Up to now, we've raised $150 million.
Okay, and is there a target size for either one of your two funds? And in fact, what is the plan going into the next 12 months?
As you know, we have a book called Invest for Good, and in that book, we've outlined what our philosophy is and how we intend to invest going forward. And the emphasis is on corporate governance. In other words, we want to be invested in those companies that have good corporate governance or have the opportunity to improve their corporate governance. So we want to engage with these companies and help them improve what they're doing and increase their capability for corporate governance. So that, of course, as you know, covers a wide range of activities, for example, getting independent board directors, having a diversified board with women and men and people of different backgrounds, etc., and treating shareholders properly with dividends and so forth. So we have, philosophy in mind, and with that philosophy, we find that we could probably manage about $1 billion. Before, you know, we would run up against the problems in being able to find the right companies. Because most of these companies are in the medium and small cap category.
So having raised $150 million, you've got another $850 million to go, Dr. Mobius. Is that fundraising plan coming to some kind of road bumps because of where the markets are? Or do you think that also, thematically speaking, corporate governance might be left behind in terms of where the turbulence is in financial markets right now?
Not really, because it's not really that the market, because there are very sophisticated institutional investors who are willing to invest, particularly at this time. The main reason why we have not gotten up to the $1 billion is because we don't have a track record. Our funds have been in existence for going on 2 years, and usually investors want at least a 3-year track record. So once we reach that 3-year track record, and assuming the performance is good, then we can see money coming in at a much faster rate.
Well, the problem is, in the last 1 year and a bit, all indices and all funds, I think, have been quite badly hit. Presumably, Mobius Capital hasn't been spared, because performance has been in decline of between 25 to 32%. But you've also got the Mark Mobius name behind you and the whole track record from Templeton. Does that not count in this scenario?
Usually, that's a good point. A lot of institutional investors we talk to, you must remember that most of our investors are institutional investors, private family funds, and that sort of thing. And most of these people who say, yes, we know your background, et cetera, but this is a new fund. We want to see what you're going to do with this new fund. And also, a lot of institutions are restricted in where they can invest. They're guidelines or their rules require that the fund in which they invest have at least a three-year track record. So that's really the requirement. So we're not too worried about that. We think going forward there'll be great opportunities and lots of money coming to the fund.
I'm talking this morning to Dr. Mark Mobius, the co-founder of Mark Mobius Capital. Now, obviously, now is the time, and this period could either be the worst of times or the best of times. As we go into the next 12 months further out, Dr. Mobius, can you give a bit of a rundown in terms of which emerging market areas you are most interested in, and then to drill down into which sectors interest you the most?
Well, at this stage, the sectors that are most interested, of course, would be medical and health, obviously, because of this crisis. And we believe that spending on medical facilities, health facilities, will go forward in a pretty fast pace. The other area would be consumables. So in other words, consumer products, with the amount of money being poured into consumers' hands, there'll be a boom in consumer spending after this is all over. So that's the other area. So that includes not only products, but also services. The other area would be telecoms, because obviously in this kind of environment, the telecoms become more and more important. Like we're using Zoom right now. I don't know whether you looked at the Zoom share price. It's doing pretty well, I believe, but that would be an example. So those would be the main areas. In terms of the areas, in terms of geographical areas, it would be, of course, China, India, Malaysia we're looking at as well, Thailand, Indonesia, Turkey, Brazil, Chile, going forward perhaps Argentina, here in South Africa where I'm speaking to you from. Those would be the countries we'd be looking at.
Well, obviously, you've got to pick your battles because $150 million doesn't spread that far and all wide. Dr. Mobius, can you give us some names? And in fact, how many names within your portfolio do you hold at any one point in time?
We usually have 25 names. We don't want to go over 30, that's for sure. But usually, we want to keep it below 25 names. And if you look at our portfolio, you'll see the names that we're in. But I don't want to mention a name in fear of people, you know, buying in when we may be selling. So I don't want to be recommending any particular names at this stage because it may be misleading.
Are there any headwinds, though, to this plan? Obviously, there usually are. And in fact, there almost always is. But what would you rate as your top two or three concerns into this strategy going forward? What could pose a block to the plan coming to fruition?
Well, if this situation gets worse, there's even been talk about closing down equity markets. In other words, stopping all trading. That would be a pretty disastrous move because then investors would be really uncertain, and you get a lot of fear in the markets. So that's one concern. The other concern is the continuing shutdown. It's become somewhat irrational, let's put it that way. I noticed that in the Malaysian press, I think one of the ministers was criticized for donning a suit to ward off the coronavirus while they were cleaning the streets. And the next minister said, what are you cleaning the streets for? People are not going to get the coronavirus from the streets. So a lot of irrational kind of behavior is taking place. And an increase in that irrational behavior could create more and more problems. So this is something we have to watch. This is the reason why the 50% decline possibility is always going to be there. We're down only 20-odd percent, and it could be much, much more than this if the irrationality continues at this level.
Well, the Philippines tried to close their market, and they did do so for 2 days to only be welcomed with a 19% plummet on opening day. The problem is the pandemic doesn't seem to be going away, Dr. Mobius, because it's quite clear that the healthcare facilities around the world are being overwhelmed by the number of cases and infections on an almost daily basis. It does seem to be a little bit more different this time, though, as a result of what I just described.
Well, you know, it's interesting to look at these the facts of the case. I was just looking at a video of a person in Germany who was visiting a hospital which was completely empty. There were no patients at all. And he asked, "Oh, why are you not using this facility?" And the hospital personnel said, "Well, we're not taking in any COVID, any virus patients, and it's all going to another hospital." So here you see a lot of examples of where there's irrational behavior taking place. And as a result, we're getting erroneous news about hospitals being overwhelmed and so forth. Of course, yes, it could be happening in some parts of the world. I know in New York City they have problems, but we have to look at the facts very, very carefully. I'd be interested, for example, to look at hospitals in Johor, in Kuala Lumpur, in Petaling Jaya, et cetera, to see how full and how stressed they are. So this is where we've got to really get out and look at the facts and determine what exactly is happening.
Okay, and very quickly, because we're nearly the end of our session, what is the one thing that would prompt you to put some of your 10 to 15% of cash to significant use, Dr. Mobius?
As the markets go down further, they should reach the 50% mark, and then, of course, we'd want to put more and put everything in the market. And, of course, this is with a very, very important proviso that the stocks that we're buying have strong balance sheets, have a good earnings growth potential, and basically are managed by very capable people. That's the key.
All right. Those principles continue to hold true, past as well as present. Thank you ever so much for talking to us, Dr. Mobius. I was talking to Dr. Mark Mobius, the co-founder of Mark Mobius Capital, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, encouraging you to stay home during this period of movement control.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.